Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
All right, church, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning, whether it be a physical Bible that you get to turn the pages in or an electronic Bible that you get to scroll in, all right? Grab your Bible this morning and join me once again in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and this morning we will cover verses 13 through 17. Had someone ask me this morning, hey, what's the rundown of the message? I'm not sure if that was so they could leave early or not. And I said, well, the title is Your Dash. And there was quite a puzzled look on his face. So I'll explain that as we move on this morning. That's the only bad thing with electronic Bibles sometimes is they talk back to you. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, this is what James writes. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes, that we would see, and that you would open our ears, that we would hear, that you would open our hearts, that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I was a sophomore in college when I got a call from my parents that my great-grandfather was not doing well. Most people don't have the opportunity to see their great-grandparents, especially grow up with them, and yet had the opportunity with my great-grandfather. He lived well into his 80s, and he was a larger-than-life figure for me. He was a farmer, and so I remember going over when I was a younger kid and riding with him in the tractor. I remember going and watching him run cows. I remember him as just this larger-than-life figure. He loved Jesus, and he was probably the most godly man that I've ever met in my life. And so when that call came, I went home, and he died not long after that. And as we were sitting in the service, celebrating his life and celebrating the fact that he was now home with Jesus, there was something on the program that stuck out to me. And you've probably heard this before, people have used this, but in this moment, it really stuck out to me because after his name was listed on the program, it gave the date that my grandfather was born, and then it gave the date that he died. And then there was a dash in the middle of when he was born and when he died. Now, for any other person looking at that, that represented his life, and yet I knew there was a lot going on in that dash. There was a lot of tears, there were a lot of joys, there was life, and there was death, and there was struggle, and there was walking with Jesus for a number of years. All of that was summed up in this little bitty dash. You know, the thing that's true for me and the thing that's true for you is unless Christ returns before we die, our life will be summed up on a piece of paper with nothing more than a dash. And yet the question this morning is, what will your dash say about you? What will your life have been about? What will your family remember? What are the things that will be most important? How will they remember your dash? See, I think for all of us, we lose sight of the fact that what we're going to read in the text this morning is life on this earth is incredibly short. We have a very, very limited time. And yet, isn't it amazing that God still calls us, one, to Himself, but two, to use every bit of our dash to serve Him? What we're going to see this morning in the message is that James is going to speak directly to this issue of life. It begins in verse 13. If you're taking notes this morning, this is what I want you to write down. If we're going to make our dash count for God and for His kingdom, number one, we need to acknowledge the complexity of life. Notice what James writes beginning in verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." Now, is anybody else exhausted after reading that? Any of you exhausted after looking at your calendar and your to-do list? I mean, you open it up, or maybe it's in digital format, or maybe you get dings on your watch that tell you that you're late for something or you have something coming up. You pull out your phone and it gives you a calendar and you look and you... Anybody else just exhausted? Look and you just say, I am unbelievably busy. I mean, you wake up on Monday morning and you got to get ready for work. And you may need to take a shower and you got to put deodorant on and then you got to brush your teeth because people like that. They'll talk about you if you don't. But if you have kids, you've got to wake them up and you got to try to help them brush their teeth. And you got to feed them. You need to eat breakfast. And then you got to figure out how you're going to get to work. And you've got to make decisions as you're driving so that you don't hit the person that's in front of you. And then when you get to work, whatever your job is, whatever your vocation is, you're trying to figure out, how can I leverage my time and my energy so that at the end of the day or the end of the week or once a month, they'll actually give me a paycheck for showing up. And then you got to figure out, how do I use that paycheck? How do I use that to actually pay the bills? Because you got to eat and you got to have shelter and you got to wear clothes. You got to figure out how you use all of that in such a way to make sure that you can do it week after week after week. And if you have kids and they're playing sports, you got to figure out, how do I get them to practice? Well, I got this one to beta club, and then I got to get this one. That's why you just need to have two, right? Two kids. You don't have to worry about that. Just kidding. But as we look, life is incredibly complex. And maybe you're past that stage and you're in your later years. And you're dealing with parents that are aging and sick. Maybe you're retired and you thought that you'd have less to do. And you realized why they call it retirement, because you're just retired again every day. Some of you will get that on the way home. But listen, James knows this. And we know this. I mean, life is incredibly, incredibly complex. James says here that, imagine this conversation going on where someone's saying, they're making a business plan. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such and such a town. You know, all the decisions that are involved with trying to do that and get there, and we're going to go there, and we're going to spend a year there, and we're going to trade, and we're going to make a profit. Complexity of life, all of these things have to get done, or at least we think they have to get done. And sometimes we just want to sit back and go, can I just quit for like a week? We usually call that vacation, but most of us spend our vacation in such a way that when we come back, we need a vacation from our vacation. We live life exhausted, worn out. The complexity of life is unbelievable. And James knows that. And he speaks directly to us. He says, beginning in verse 14, and here's the second truth if you want to write this down. We need to accept the uncertainty of life. Not only the complexity of life, but also the uncertainty of life. Notice in the first part of verse 14, James says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. How true is that? Notice in the context, James is writing about people who are trying to make a business plan. They're looking and they're saying, we're going to travel to this city and we're going to set up shop there for a year and we're going to sell and we're going to buy and we're going to do everything that we can to make a profit. And yet James's response on the back end of that is, here's the problem. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. How many of you have ever experienced that? The phone call that you weren't expecting. You had plans of doing this, or you had thoughts of accomplishing this, and yet all of a sudden, in a second, one phone call can change that completely. Loved ones died. Phone call from the doctor who says, I'm sorry to tell you, but your numbers have come back and you have cancer. I experienced this several years ago when we were in Georgia. I went in like all good patients are supposed to do and was going to have a physical, which I've learned on the back end, don't go to the doctor, right? If you're a medical professional, that's probably not the right answer. But I go in, I go see the doctor and have blood work drawn, and the doctor says, Michael, there's something wrong. I don't want you to be alarmed. I always love that. I want you to be alarmed. There's something wrong, and you need to go in for some more testing. It's like, okay, well, go in and have the testing done. He thought it was a liver issue, that some type of enzyme, I don't know, was overproducing, underproducing. I'm not really sure what's going on. And he says, you need to go in, and they're gonna do a test, and they're going to see. So, does that, and then he called me about a week later at home, which is never good. He's a friend, and he said, listen, I really don't want you to worry, but it's not good. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate that. He said, I think that you have a mass on your liver. I was like, what? How do you respond to that, right? I mean, because at this point in time, I'm just carrying on with life. I mean, life for me at that point was pretty normal as life can be. And yet that phone call, all of a sudden, start to worry. All of a sudden, life for you is turned upside down. Now, it turned out after $2,800 worth of more tests, nothing was wrong. Moral of the story, don't go to the doctor. But isn't it amazing how in the uncertainty of life, with one phone call, one conversation, that life can change almost instantly? Scripture paints a picture of, Jesus tells this story about a farmer who had an incredible crop one year to the point that he didn't have enough room to store it in his barns. And so he said to himself, I will just build bigger barns so that I can store all of this grain. And Jesus said he was a foolish man because he never took into account that he was going to die that very night. We don't know what life's going to bring. And so we can make all the best laid plans that we want to. It's not wrong to plan. It's not wrong to look ahead. In fact, Scripture paints the picture of a wise person who counts the cost of what they're about to do, or a wise person who thinks ahead of what may come and prepares themselves for that. And yet we must never lose sight of the uncertainty of life. Not only the uncertainty of life, notice what James writes next. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Here's the third truth James wants us to see this morning. It's we need to admit the brevity of life. The brevity of life. James says, what is your life? What is your dash? In the grand scheme of eternity, you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Now, for many of us, we look at that and that kind of discourages us. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to think that for us, death could be right around the corner. And yet the reality is, you know this, I know this, only two things that are guaranteed in life unless Jesus comes back: taxes and death. Every single one of us, unless Christ returns, we will die. James reminds us of the brevity of life. Even if we get to live for 80 or 90 or maybe even 100 years, and gosh, how long of a time that is. And yet, in the grand scheme of eternity, James here calls it just a mist. You ever walking out in the cold, which never happens here, you ever walking out in the cold and blow hot air and you see the mist come out, the fog appear, and it's there for how long? Just a second. And then it's gone. And James says for us that that is life. Verse 15, James says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Here's the fourth truth this morning. I apologize if you're at a note room. Fourth truth, we need to adopt the true purpose of life. You notice what happens in verse 15. James says, instead of approaching it the way that it was approached in verse 13, saying today or tomorrow we'll go into this city and we'll trade and we'll make a profit. James says instead we should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You ever had someone in conversation say to you, hey, I'll see you next week? And they say, well, God willing, I'll see you. That mentality is what James is getting at. In fact, he's getting at the reality that ultimately our purpose and our plan in life is determined by the Lord. In fact, our time on this planet is determined by the Lord. And what our dash should look like and what our life should be about is determined by the Lord. James says, so instead of not even giving the Lord a nod, not even concerned about what God may want to do in and through your life, James says we need to reorient the way that we are looking at our lives. Jesus is not the cherry on top of the life that we want to live. In fact, if we understand what James is saying, he's saying that life is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and everything flows from that. We've been talking about that since we've been walking our way through the book of James. How do we have a faith that actually works itself out in real life? How are we able to live the life that God has intended for us to live? How are we able to make our dash count? James says here that some things need to be rearranged in our lives. Priorities need to be changed, need to be tweaked. We need to be reminded once again that ultimately we've got very, very little say about a lot of things regarding our life. James says here, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. You ever thought about that? What a boastful thing it is to say what your life's going to look like apart from your Creator's intentions and desires. James says, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. So as we think about that, as we think about the reality that God is the one who directs our steps, that God is the one who has set our life before us, and He knows the beginning date, and He knows the end date. He knows everything about who we are. He knows what's best for us, and He knows what our lives should consist of. If we take that reality, if we look at the reality of the purpose for which God created us, let's do that and walk back through those first three things that we talked about. What is God's purpose for your life? You heard, and I've heard, God loves us, and God has a plan for our life. You heard that? It's true. In fact, God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, to save you from your sins so that you could have a relationship with Him. But not only that, God loves you so much that He also has a plan for your life. Salvation is not an end in itself. Salvation is the beginning point of a life lived for God and for His purposes. James has been walking us through that reality since we've been studying this book. You realize that God's purpose for every single one of us, if we've claimed the name of Christ, if we are a believer this morning, God's purpose for our life is very clear and also very simple. What should our life be about? What should mark our days? When asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus was very clear and said that we should love God and that we should love others. Our life should be rearranged in those two categories. Loving God with every ounce of our being and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus left us with the mission that we are to go and to make disciples of all nations. For every single one of us, that's our purpose statement for living. You want to know, what's the purpose statement of North River Church? It's the one that Jesus gave us. You spend hours and hours trying to craft the best purpose statement and it be catchy and people be able to repeat it. And here's the thing. Jesus simply said to those of us who are following Him that we are to make disciples of all nations. We're to baptize and we're to teach. That's a pretty simple purpose statement. Pretty simple thing for us as we think about our lives, as we reorient ourselves around those. And so when we back up and we look at the reality that life is complex, how do we take the purpose for which we exist and we plug it into a complex life? See, here's usually the way that this happens. I know it's the way oftentimes that it happens for me. There's so much that has to get done that oftentimes God gets put on the back burner. Like, I know that I should be spending time in God's Word. I know that I should be spending time in prayer. I know that I should be coming to church. I know that I should be seeking to train up my kids to love the Lord. I know that I should be reaching out to my neighbor. I know all of these things, but life is so, so complex. My to-do list never gets done. I've got more things than I know to handle. I don't know how that I can plug God into that. And that's where the problem is. God's not asking for us to plug Him into our complex life. Not for those of us who are believers here this morning. God says that He is the author of all of life. We're not trying to plug Him in. In fact, we're trying to look at it through the lens that He's given us in His Word. See, here's the reality for us this morning. We need to recognize that if there's anything that we're doing that is getting in the way of living the life God has intended for us to live, it needs to take a back seat to God. Say, Michael, not really sure how to do that. Because I got all these things that I got to do. Have you ever thought about putting your to-do list at God's feet and asking a simple question? What if this really has to get done? What if this really needs to be accomplished? There's a two-letter word that you may have to learn to say. No. No, I'm not going to do that. No, we're not going to do that as a family. No, personally, I'm not going to do that because for me to do that, I must compromise what God's called me to do. And if God is the author of life and God has called me to live on His mission, then sometimes I'm going to have to say no to other things. And listen, they may be good things. But if good things become God things in our life, we have a problem. So we look at the complexity of life, but it must be filtered through the reality of who God is and what He's called us to do. Not only that, but we need to recognize the uncertainty of life through the lens of who God is and what He's called us to do. See, here's the reality for us this morning as we think about the fact that life is just uncertain. What happens when you get that call? What happens when the unexpected happens? What happens when things don't turn out the way that you thought they should turn out? When we're living God's purposes out in our life, we'll realize that any interruption, any uncertainty, is simply an opportunity that God has presented before us to cling to Him once again. We've seen this lived out in our church family. Through sickness, through death, we've seen people respond in a way to draw closer to the Lord in this uncertainty instead of fussing about it, instead of putting God at arm's length about it. See, the reality is for us this morning, when we recognize God's purpose for our lives, we recognize that it's less about making us happy. God's not a genie in a bottle giving us what we want. God's less concerned about making us happy. He is most concerned about making us holy. And sometimes doing that causes us to experience things that we may not want to, uncertainties that we may not want to walk through. And yet, it's those moments where God is able to break off of us those things that need to be broken off, to remind us once again that His purposes and His plans for our life are greater than anything that we could ever imagine. You may be in that period of uncertainty in your life at this point. Job change, death in a family, diagnosis that you weren't expecting, kids crazy, any number of those things. And the question is, how for us as believers do we respond to that? To the uncertainty of life, how are we going to respond? Is it going to be through the lens of what God has called us to do? Is it going to be with that reality, or is it going to be on our own strength and on our own power? And then let's look at the reality of God's purpose for our lives in light of the fact that life is a mist. When you get to the end of your days and your life is summed up in a dash, what do you want your life to have consisted of? What are the things that are the most important to you? Is it fulfilling God's purpose and God's mission for your life? You know, it's interesting when, and as a pastor, I've had the opportunity to be with people at the end of their life as they're planning on being in heaven in just a few days. What's funny is I never hear anyone say, you know, I wish I'd have worked a little more. You know, I wish that I would have disciplined my kids more. You know, I really wish that I would have missed church more. I really wish I would have made a lot more money than I did. None of those things are things that people say. Because when it comes to the end, you begin to realize really, really quickly the things that matter in life and the things that don't. And for us as followers of Jesus, we have the reminder for us constantly that our life is just a mist. It's here for just a little while. And we have an opportunity that God has granted for each and every single one of us to live on mission for Him, to experience His grace in our lives and be the conduits so that other people experience His grace and joy in their lives. And when we get to the end of our days, we can look back and we can say, you know what? I've lived a short life, or I've lived a long life, but I've lived a life that counted towards God and His purposes. I've lived a life that matters in the kingdom. Every single one of us have the opportunity to do that. And oftentimes we need to be reminded that our life is just a dash. But it's what is in that dash that matters. And church family, it matters now, and it matters for eternity. God desires to use you. God desires to be active and involved in bringing people to Himself through you. And the question is, will we allow God to do that through us? Will our dash matter for eternity? Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the reminder that every single one of us needs to hear. That as we think about the complexity and the uncertainty and the brevity of life, that your purposes can be accomplished even in spite of those things. Father, you desire to use us for your glory. God, you desire to transform this community that we live in for your name. And yet you invite us to be a part of that. You invite us to spend our lives, to spend our effort and to spend our energy living on mission, sharing the gospel with people, seeing them come to faith in Christ. Father, the reality for many of us here this morning is that our life is almost too complex to really be serious about doing what you've called us to do. We've said yes to so many things that by default we've said no to you. God, would you forgive us this morning? Would you show us those places in our life? Would you give us the courage and the strength to say no to those things that would distract us from doing what you've called us to do? Father, would you remind us that we have just a short time. Just a short time, Lord, maybe to respond to the gospel for the first time. And Father, if there's one here that does not know you as their heavenly Father, that's never trusted in Jesus for salvation, God, would you remind them that they may not have tomorrow to do it? God, would you remind us as your followers who have trusted in Jesus for salvation that we have just a short amount of time on this earth. And we have an enormous mission field that you've placed us in. Help us to make our lives count for your kingdom's sake. Help us to be about your mission, your purpose, your will, your plan for our lives. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and sing, and you respond to the Lord this morning.